ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
I felt pretty good about it. Yeah, it's kind of weird we can't hear ourselves in our own headphones, so it does make you kind of scream. So sorry if I'm screaming or yelling. It's not because I don't want everybody to think that I have the passion of Jim Moore or anything like that, but yeah, I just can't really hear myself, so I tend to speak up a little bit. But no, it went really well, and it was actually kind of fun. I mean, look, under the circumstances, things being what they are, it's pretty cool that you can do this. And, you know, and I've been kind of texting Taylor Jacobs some of the pictures, you know, of what I'm looking at. I'm at my desk, looking out on the backyard. It's a nice sunny day. So, yeah, it's better than looking through that window out into the newsroom, right?
Jim, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I've got the makeshift studio here. I've got Clay Thompson, one of those, what do you call them, fathead things behind me, a poster of Clay playing for Golden State. And then in front of me, there's a poster of a golden retriever. And my desk is a miniature ping pong table. And yeah, I'm fired up and ready to go. Well, you guys know that from me, though. I bring the passion every single day.
Yeah, you're a man of great passion. We've come to expect that from Jim Moore. So I think that's what the listeners are in store for, and that's why they tune in. Hey, we got a big show coming your way today. John Clayton will join us at 4 o'clock, as he does every day. And I know Dave is very excited about this one. Keith Butler, is it safe to say a hero or just a guy you really looked up to in the world of the NFL? He's going to join us at 5 o'clock today.
Yeah, he was like a mentor to me, and
hero might be a little strong
during story time. Yeah, I don't know about hero, but I'll tell you what he's doing now. He's one of the better defensive coordinators in the league. It just makes me feel fortunate that I got to learn from him.
Well, we'll have him on at 5 o'clock. We got Bill Barnwell, who had some very unkind things to say about one of the newest acquisitions of the Seattle Seahawks. So we'll get his take he had a rough comparison for the O-line signings the Seahawks made this week, and we'll get into that coming up at 5:30. And then at 5:45, Aaron Mason from our sister station, 97.3 Cairo FM, will join us and give us the latest on what's happening locally with the coronavirus and everything going on locally. So we will keep everybody up to speed, try to give you as much of a diversion as we can, but also, you know, let you know what's happening out there. So that happens at 5:45. I got to tell you, it's gorgeous outside. Before we get into all the sports and everything going on, it's so weird that everything is going on as it is with the virus and the fear and the panic. And, man, I took the Harley out today, and it's beautiful. It's sunny. It's peaceful. It's serene. It's very contradictory to what's going on in the rest of the world. And hopefully you guys got a chance to go outside and enjoy the weather a little bit.
Yeah, yesterday after we did the show, got on my bike and went for a ride. And, you know, because of the sun staying up a little bit later, you know, as we go into summer, got a chance after the, you know, I probably was on my bike by 6:15. Show ended at, 6:10 or so. So, yeah, it was great. Just beautiful outside. I'm seeing lots of people walking up and down. There's lots of people out at the tennis courts down the street. So, yeah, there's everybody's kind of carrying on. And like you said, your view of the world is so gloomy right now. But when you look outside, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, and same for me, you guys. I was I live really close to Cougar Mountain Regional Park. And even before the coronavirus scare, I'd be taking River out there. But it's nice just to get out there in the wilderness and look around and see the creeks and seeing more and more people out there with the gyms being closed and people still trying to get out and get exercise. And yeah, it's fun to see other dogs and other faces out there, and everybody's trying to make the best of it.
Yeah, hopefully everybody listening gets a chance to get out there while the weather's good, enjoy it. Obviously, you got to practice social distancing and all that. And, you know, it's just kind of the new norm for the immediate future. Hopefully it doesn't last that long, but at least the weather's great. So meanwhile, we got news going on in the world of the NFL. Still not much of it involving the Seattle Seahawks, but we saw a running back A couple of running backs signed deals. We talked yesterday. Todd Gurley gets released by the Rams. He was going to be owed $10.5 million yesterday, and it took one day for him to find a new home. He signs with the Falcons on a one-year deal, $6 million, and then he had Melvin Gordon, who, remember, he held out. He wanted a big deal, came back to the Chargers, didn't have a great season. He ends up signing a two-year, $16 million deal with the Broncos. Any surprise? Yeah, I mean, Todd Gurley's a guy that I think I mean, we talked about it. Yeah, his numbers went down, 3.8 yards per carry average, but he still had 14 touchdowns last year. He was still a guy who, even in a more limited role than he's had in years previous, really effective. I feel like a one-year, $6 million deal is a heck of a bargain for Gurley.
Yeah, especially if that knee is not as bad as everybody thinks it is. And you know, I'm just looking at his numbers, and like last year well, this is just, you know, through his career, starting in 2015. I'm just looking at receptions. You know, he was targeted 26 times his rookie year. You can understand. He was just kind of getting going. Then it went 43, 64 in 2017, and that's when he was all pro. I'm sorry, he had 64 catches, not targets, in that year. And then it went to 59 and down to 31 this last year. So they just weren't throwing him the ball as much. And you know, the fact that he wasn't getting as many touches, I guess, indicates that his knee is, you know, they were trying to save him a little bit, but I just didn't see it. I didn't see any him limping around. They were just replaying the Rams game against Tampa Bay earlier last year, and I think it was like week two or three, and Tampa ended up putting like over 50 on him, but They also put up about 40-some points, and, you know, Gurley was out there. I mean, I didn't see really what the problem was. I don't really get what, you know, exactly how that arthritic knee has manifested itself into anything other than they're not playing him as much.
Yeah, well, I just, everything with Todd Gurley, though, I was surprised that it happened so quickly with the Falcons, because you'd think that you would want to have a physical. I'm sure that deal is contingent on a physical once things settle down and they're able to have a team doctor take a look at him. And I was torn on whether you wanted the Seahawks to take a look at Todd Gurley and have him come in here with the possibility, the good possibility, that Rashad Penny as your backup running back won't be ready until probably October. That's what I heard Clayton saying this morning, that he's going to be on the PUP list. So you look at Gurley as a possible backup to Chris Carson, and yet, boy, he's off and gone to Atlanta. And yet on the other side of it, I was thinking, well, I don't really know if I want damaged goods with Todd Gurley either.
But a one-year deal, I mean, listen, in the world of the NFL, a one-year $6 million deal, for a guy who even a guy we're viewing as damaged goods, or he's not what he was, still had over 800 yards, still had 14 touchdowns. I mean, that's still productive. That's a lot of production from a guy we're looking at as damaged goods. Now, I'm not advocating for, hey, they should have gone after him and outbid and gone for a multi-year deal. No, but when you look at the fact that he signed for 1 year, $6 million, I'd take that in a heartbeat, as much as I don't think he is what he used to be by any stretch, but still remarkably productive, and I would take him over Turbin. I'd take him over Marshawn. I'd take him over a lot of the guys they've talked about, Alex Collins, above any of those guys by a long ways.
Yeah, well, and also you look at some of the other guys like Melvin Gordon, who's on the market, and you know that guy held out, and I don't know. It just always makes me, Gurley always seemed like he was all in, and he's one of those guys that, you know, love football and just wanted to play. There's never been any kind of a rumble or a problem with him. The guy's only 25 years old. So, and then also, you know, he's probably wanting to go back home. I know he went to Georgia, so going back to Atlanta is at least, you know, in that area. So maybe that's part of it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how much the Seahawks would think about spending on a guy like Alex Collins or somebody like that, but I wonder if it's not far away from $6 million.
Well, yeah, are you guys at a point where you're thinking that they're going to address the running back situation in the draft? Because I'm looking at it going, okay, I think Carlos Hyde is still available in free agency. Melvin Gordon off the books today, and you know that they need to do something unless they've got all kinds of faith in Travis Homer. And we haven't even talked about it yet, but there is the possibility they could bring back C.J. ProSize if anyone's interested in that.
Yeah, I don't see C.J. ProSize being an option. I mean, I know they're familiar and they like what he is when he's healthy, but he was healthy last year and he was a healthy scratch. You know, at some point, that tells me they just didn't have faith in him. They didn't feel like he made them better. If they did, he would have been active because he was healthy. So I don't feel like he's got a future with this team. You got guys that you mentioned. Frank Gore is out there. Maybe they want to go even cheaper, and you know, Gore would be cheaper. And, you know, if they want to try to bring Marshawn back, whatever, if they feel like, hey, we just need a duct tape guy, yeah, I think they're going to address it with a veteran. And they may draft a quarterback, or maybe they sign a free agent, you know, rookie free agent. But I believe there'll be more bodies at that position in here without question. But I feel like it's going to be a mix. I don't know if they spend a draft pick on it, but I think they bring in an older guy, and I think they probably bring in, you know, somebody of the whether it's late round or rookie free agent. I think you'll see a couple of guys in here.
Well, I'd rather have Frank Gore in here than Marshawn Lynch or anybody else, and I love Marshawn Lynch. So Frank Gore, I'm first in line for that one. Go look at his mugshot. I know I've said that enough, but the other
just,
one,
he has sold you with the mean face. He has just absolutely worked you.
He's a bad dude, man. I'm telling you. And that guy being his age and what he's gone through. But, no, Jim, you mentioned the draft. That's the good thing. I mean, look, I hate to keep bringing up Chris Carson, but was he fifth round, sixth round, seventh round, whatever?
Seventh
round. Same thing with Homer. Yeah, I mean, look, you can get good running backs late. Look what the Broncos did with that free agent kid. Name eludes me right now. But, you know, he was out of Colorado State or someplace they picked up on a free agent contract.
Oh, the little guy?
Wasn't even undrafted free agent, yeah. And, you know, so I think you can get it. It's okay. You don't have to go in the first round to get a good running back. And, you know, you can wait and get him in the later rounds.
I just like that the Rams appear to be in disarray. And their situation going into the draft, they don't have a first-round pick until 2022, And I know they've had success in the past. They went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, but boy, they sure seem like they're on a downward trend. And Bob, you talk about you think that they're going to finish in last place in the NFC West this coming year, and I would tend to agree with you there.
Yeah, it's
Philip Lindsay, by the way.
Yeah, the little guy, he's good. But as far as the Rams go, Jim, listen, I don't think you needed to be Nostradamus to see this coming with what they invested in the team. In a lot of these players that just didn't ultimately pan out for them. I mean, they did get to the Super Bowl, didn't win. And then you saw all of the draft capital that they sacrificed in order to get where they were. You saw Gurley start to decline a bit. The amount of money they committed to different players, committed to him, committed to Goff. They bring in Ndamukong Suh that year. They bring in Aqib Talib. Now they bring in Jalen Ramsey. They've spent a lot of money in various spots at the same time just killing their draft stock. So it felt like this was inevitable, and I don't think they're going to be a losing team. I don't think they'll be, you know, 6-10, 7-9, but I wouldn't be stunned if this were an 8-8 team. I just don't know what they're going to have left and how McVay is going to sort of rally the troops. I mean, it puts that much more on Jared Goff, and I know how Dave feels about him, that's not a guy you want to have to, you know, pin your season on solely. And if he doesn't have the luxury that he did with Gurley a couple of years ago, where Gurley was the majority of that offense, I think he gets exposed a little bit. You there?
Hello?
Hello. All right. I thought we lost you. But
oh, sorry about that. Oh, I thought Jim.
Oh,
was
yeah, I dropped for a second there, Bob. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Hey, the other thing I was wondering about, I mean, well, there's a delay on my end. I'm sorry, you guys. You know, with Clowney today, you know, the different reports you're getting about Jadeveon Clowney, are you feeling more confident that he's going to come back to the Seahawks or less confident with all these reports out there? I even heard John Clayton talking this morning about perhaps $12 or $13 million for Clowney at this point. And I imagine it's going to be more in the 15 to 16 range once it all shakes out. But so on the one hand, you're looking at it and going, okay, it's coming back more into the Seahawks neighborhood of what you'd like to see them pay for him. And yet I was thinking, well, wait a minute. If I'm another team, I'm looking at Clowney a little more than I thought I was going to because I thought he'd be priced out of my neighborhood. And yet 15 or 16 million, I think, seems more affordable to more teams out there.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, I
think,
I was gonna
I think
say,
he's He's going to – there's going to be interest. I think – I feel like everybody's kind of sitting back and waiting on Clowney. I think there are probably multiple teams that are very interested, but very interested to a certain dollar amount, obviously. And we'll get into this in the next segment. Joe Thomas, former left tackle of the Cleveland Browns, was on a podcast talking about Clowney. So we'll get into some of his comments coming up in the next segment. But I feel like everybody's just kind of lying in the weeds waiting for that opportunity. And I don't know if he's going to sign a short-term deal, if it's going to be a 1 or 2 year prove-it deal with a team. I would feel like if that were his choice, what would be a better situation than coming back to what he's familiar with? He played 1 year here. He loved it here. Everybody loved him here. And if he wants to truly show what he's capable of doing, I don't feel like the Cowboys are a better spot. I don't feel like the Giants are better. Any of these teams that have been rumored to have interest in him, I don't feel like those are better spots. If he's trying to earn that next big contract and say, all right, yeah, I miscalculated the market. I need to improve my draft stock, or not draft stock, my free agent stock. Maybe he piles up some more sacks this year. I don't feel like he's got a better opportunity than he does in Seattle if he's going short term.
You know, I've been kind of re-looking at, and we've talked this to death with the pass rush and how much, 28 sacks, and they usually average 39-40 when Pete was here. So, it makes me more open to just renting a player for a year or two, which, and I know we've kind of talked about Everson Griffin a little bit, and he said goodbye to Vikings fans today on Instagram, and I would say, how interested would you be in him? He had 8 sacks, 41 tackles, an interception in 2019. I mean, if you can get that for a year or two, even, do kind of a rent a pass rusher deal. You already put Jaron Reed on a kind of prove it deal. In the meantime, the guys that you draft can start to get better. Maybe in 2 years, maybe you sign Griffin for 2 years, and maybe 2 years from now, LJ Collier is your leading pass rusher, or Rasheem Green, or Puna Ford, whoever, So I'm kind of open to that idea. And Everson Griffin, I've loved watching him play. And I know he had some problems. I think he had some mental problems there for a while. And said in his goodbye to all the Minnesota Viking fans, hey, I'm as healthy as I've ever been physically or mentally. I'm 32 years old, but I still got a lot more football left in me. And so, maybe that's why the Seahawks haven't invested in Clowney, and gone big there, because, they're just thinking, hey, let's see who else we can get there to bolster our pass rush for a couple of years until the young guys start to, pick up their numbers.
Well, doesn't it sound crazy if you're Clowney? Because if I'm Clowney, I'm sitting there and my agent's telling me, look, you're not going to get anywhere close to 20 or 21 or 22, and you're going to be lucky to get 16 or 17 at this point. And look, Jadeveon, we have to have a prove-it deal for 1 year. And I'm sitting there, if I'm him, I'm going, a prove-it deal? What more do I have to prove to you? Did you see me in the San Francisco game on Monday night? On his side of it, I suppose Clayton and others were saying that, okay, next year the salary cap, it'll be increased and he can get more money next year. But I'm also thinking, well, wait a minute. I thought I was going to cash in this year after coming to Seattle. So I bet you there's a lot of confusion in his camp about what to do.
Yeah, but that's on his agent to sort of tell him, listen, everybody assumed the market was going to be this, but it's really that. I mean, it's a miscalculation. I don't know that there's one person that's to blame for it. If he's talking to his agent, everybody assumed he was going to be in that Khalil Mack range or somewhere in that neighborhood. And so far that is not the case, and it seems like it's trending the other way. Jadeveon's got to be a big boy. He's got to deal with what the market is. He can't sit here and say, well, wait a minute, I should be getting X amount of dollars. Well, the reality is nobody's offering that level of a payday at this point for whatever reason. So all you can do is go out there and prove, hey, you didn't want to pay me? Here's what you missed. And maybe he catalogs the teams that said, no, I'm not going to pay him that much, and he doesn't give them the opportunity on the back end of the short-term deal that he signs. So I know he uses it as a chip on his shoulder, whatever he wants to do, but he's just got to deal with the reality of the market, and the market is not what they thought it was going to be.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, it's just funny to think that he could, you know, possibly be mad at the team that he signs with, you know, because he's mad about at the market. Remember Michael Crabtree? You know, he ended up getting drafted later, like at the end of the first round, I think, of the 49ers, and he was all pissed off because he didn't get drafted higher. It's like, well, don't be mad at the team that drafted you. You know, I'm sorry that you weren't as you know, much of a talented as everybody thought you were, but... You know, and so for Clowney, you know, that it's just kind of interesting to see that, you know, he could actually be kind of angry by the time this thing finishes because he probably thought he was going to get, you know, top end dollar. But, you know, and we'll see what and I know, you know, we're going to talk about it in the next segment. But Joe Thomas, you know, mentioned, you know, how much the injuries might have affected him. So, you know, we'll hear from him and maybe take a little bit more of that into consideration.
Yeah, we'll do that coming up in the next segment. But right now, let's take two.
It's time to take two. Brought to you by Infinity of Tacoma at Fife.
Take two.
The Seattle Seahawks and CenturyLink Field have joined together to support the Seattle community. They announced today that this includes paying part-time employees who were going to lose wages due to canceled events, as well as significant donations to various local relief efforts supporting those most affected by the coronavirus crisis.
That's one of those elements. We've talked about it. I mean, this entire thing is incredibly awful. It's impacting everybody on some level. Somebody's being touched by this whole thing. So to see those that are in a position to help step up and do it, whether we're talking about organizations, whether we're talking about individual athletes, whether we're talking about actors and actresses. I mean, I've seen it in all industries, people really stepping up to help out and understanding just how dire the situation is. I mean, kudos to the Seahawks, kudos to the Mariners and everybody else who's jumping in to help out as much as they can. It's awesome to see.
It's kind of like the sunshine outside and how beautiful it is. There's lots of bad things going on right now, but you see some good things coming out of it too.
Yeah, I saw, you know, we all know about... Oh.
Go ahead, Jim.
I'm trying.
I love it.
I got a kick out of somebody on the text line saying, "Hey, Misfit Radio's back," and I'm thinking, "No kidding."
Jeez. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, it wasn't that important. Well, all I was going to say is everybody knows about Russell Wilson and Sierra, what they did, offering a million meals, and I just happened to see, and you talk about good things coming out of such a dire and bad situation. Jacob Martin, the former Seahawk, he's doing the same type thing. Not a million meals, but he's contributing to a food drive down there in Houston, which was nice to see.
All right. Second one is, it was reported today that NFL teams may begin signing XFL players on Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern. It's been reported that the Seahawks, Broncos, and Cardinals have all shown interest in Houston Roughnecks quarterback P.J. Walker.
I like it. I think he fits. I think we saw what he did. I know it's not NFL competition, but you had a lot of NFL players, former NFL players in that league. You're talking about a backup, and we haven't seen much of the backups out there on the field in the Russell Wilson era, and hopefully that will continue. So if they've got a conviction about him, I think he looked good to me. I'd feel good about him being a backup.
I want Jeremy Clark or Igwebuke. Am I saying that right, Maura?
Yeah, and Brock agreed with you on those two as well.
Yeah, those were two guys I thought looked really good. And, you know, and the linebacker looked good too, but, I mean, he's been around for a long time. And, you know,
Stephen
he's
Johnson.
Been in a lot of camps. Stephen Johnson, I don't see a whole bunch of upside for him, but he's a good player. But I love Clark and Igwebuke.
Important than ever, I would think, to get a better backup quarterback this year because Russell Wilson's not going to be able to take every snap, every down, and be out there the rest of his career without missing some time at some point. So I'm hoping that they can upgrade. Geno Smith, he didn't do a darn thing except for go out for the coin toss, and I don't even know how good he would have been if he had taken over. But this year, hopefully they'll upgrade a little bit, and if P.J. Walker's the guy, then count me in for that.
All right, there you go. There's a little bit of news from around the league. We'll get into more things that are happening out there. Meanwhile, Joe Thomas had something interesting to say about Jadeveon Clowney and what he is on the field. And I don't know that Jim Moore is going to be real happy with this comment, but we're going to play that for you. Coming up, it's Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle. A reminder that you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group, and it's free, and it's convenient, and it's perfect for what's going on now. It's another little silver lining to the circumstance we're all finding ourselves in, so you can just download the app and take us with you wherever you go. We're going to do our best to be a diversion for you throughout this whole process as long as we can, so appreciate everybody hanging with us throughout the technical difficulties, some people finding it sort of humorous, some asking if Jim can remain on a three-minute delay once we return to normal. Apparently, they really enjoy that aspect of your game.
How about a three-hour delay?
It's kind of sad that you would actually enjoy that, Jim, that you just would enjoy not being on the show. Come on, man.
Bob, well, no, I'm happy to be here, Bob.
Okay. Well, good to know. Anyway,
I just did 30 push-ups during the break, by the way.
That's congratulations on that, Jim. Congratulations.
I don't know why that's gross to me for some reason.
Jim doing push-ups is gross?
What are you trying to get in, like,
what's Dave mumbling about?
I don't know. You're going to try to fit into a Speedo or something? Why? What's with the push-ups? You're too old for push-ups.
He's getting very muscly.
Was that Maxine's?
No, my wife felt like she needed to pipe in, I guess.
Oh, your wife's in the room.
He's getting very muscly.
He's an Adonis. Coming up at 4 o'clock, the Professor John Clayton will join us on the program. As we mentioned, Joe Thomas, former left tackle of the Cleveland Browns, and now he's a part of the blogging world, or at least he was on, joined Blogging the Boys podcast. Never heard of it, but he was on there talking about Jadeveon Clowney. And cut number one, I had somebody on the text say the only team that's shown interest in him or that makes sense is the Tennessee Titans. Well, cut number one, Joe Thomas thinks otherwise.
It really, to me, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm not sure after signing Gerald McCoy, the numbers can still work at this point. But for me, they had just lost Robert Quinn, who obviously was your leading sacker last year. Great pass rusher, but not the all-around player that Jadeveon Clowney is.
Talking about the Cowboys there, the Dallas Cowboys being an option for him. And I'm sure, Dave, there's probably some appeal to playing, you know, for America's team and the star on the side of the helmet. But how much do you think familiarity, just having been in this situation last year, if we're talking about a potential short-term deal, how much does that weigh in that he's familiar, he knows what goes on here versus what the Cowboys are doing?
Yeah, you know, maybe we make too big of a deal of this because, you know, once you're out on the field, it's the same field. Yeah, you're playing a little bit of different defense, but you've gotten to, you know, get there and go through camp and learn all the new terminology and everything. Because everybody, you know, runs pretty close to the same type of stuff. They usually just have different terminology for it. But what about, you know, moving and getting settled in and the place that you live in and then the facility that you walk into every day? And, yeah, so, I mean, I think that counts for something. And, you know, for Clowney, you know, to go from Houston to here, I feel like he wants to stay here. And I feel like he wants to make it his home here. So, you know, and maybe he'll go back to South Carolina, whatever, when everything's done. But, you know, for now, I mean, that definitely counts for something. You know, I remember wanting to be traded my last year in the NFL when I was with Denver, and they wouldn't let me play, and they brought in another guy. And, you know, and I really wanted to get traded, but I had to say, like, I wanted to play, but I didn't want to go to another city. You know, it's just it's a pain, you know, and so I think that definitely counts for something for him. And I would be surprised that if he were to, you know, even if Dallas were to, you know, offer him like an extra $1 million or something like that, I'd be surprised if he took it. I just feel like he likes it here. He likes the coaches. He knows what he's going to get, and he likes it here in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, I'd agree with you on that, Dave, but I think if there's a $2 or $3 million difference, and now we're also looking at the length of the contract, because there's reports out there that it might be a one-year deal that he ends up signing and then trying to get a bigger deal next year. So if Seattle's only in the position of offering him 1 or 2 years and there's another team that wants to offer him 3 or 4, then I would think that he would go for that team. I also wonder if you're Clowney, he's probably sitting there thinking, okay, I remember what I told the reporters after the Green Bay game that I didn't want to go play for any sorry-ass team. Well, I bet you the sorry-ass teams are in play right now, especially if that sorry-ass team wants to give him $18 to $20 million and nobody else does. And all this stuff that Clayton says about Clowney being a better fit for a 4-3 defense, I would agree with him to a point, because if I'm him and a 3-4 team wants to offer me $20 million, I'm forgetting all about that 4-3 stuff and putting my hand in the ground, and I'm going to stand up and take my $20 million and play for that 3-4 defense.
He might be driven by that. We'll see how driven by money he is versus winning, because that's, again, you referred to his comment. That's what he said. Jim, I want you to hear this cut. Cut number two, Joe Thomas, again, a guy who played against Clowney, gives his assessment of what kind of player he is and just how important it is that he rack up 10 to 12 sacks.
I played against Devin Clowney a bunch of times when he was with the Texans. He's a disruptive force. He's a guy that you have to game plan for. He's not a guy where just on third down he trots out on the field and you can throw a tight end at him and kind of chip him or get a little extra bump or a slide and you can take care of him. He's a force wrecker. He's a guy that in the run game you got to have a plan for. A lot of times you have a hard time running at him because of how good he is at making blockers miss. And when you have a guy like that who you have to game plan around, he makes everybody's defense better. So there's 32 teams in the NFL that if Jadeveon Clowney was out there on defense, they would find a way to get him on the field, and he would make that defense better. And to me, that's way more valuable than a guy that's going to have 10 or 12 sacks every single season. And so I think there's huge value with Clowney.
How about that, Jim?
Well, okay, I didn't play in the NFL, and I recognize that he's a disruptive force. I watched him in 13 of the 16 games last year, and I understand that you have to game plan around Jadeveon Clowney, but his comment that he makes everyone's defense better, I know he's a great player, but they were still 26th in the NFL. So, and NFL GMs have some concerns about him, or he'd be signed by now. Somebody would have given him 20 or 22 million, and yet there are either concerns about the lack of sacks or the injury history that he has that are causing him to not get the kind of contract that he wants.
You agree with that, Dave?
Well, I would just say, first of all, I totally agree with what Joe Thomas said, and that's why you're hiring him, not just because of the sack totals. But, you know, earlier you were saying, yeah, screw it, go to a 3-4 team, you know, if I'm going to make 18 to 20. Well, I think the 18 to 20 deal is gone, right? I mean, otherwise he'd be signed. I mean, that amount of money, those signings, I feel like have come and gone. So he is, you know, I think now he's in the, you know, 16-17 range. So, yeah, and somebody texted in, yes, state income tax is a consideration, certainly, especially if you're going to decide whether it's, you know, California or Washington. I don't think there's a state income tax in Texas, but, you know, as far as the Cowboys go. But yeah, I'm with Joe Thomas, man. I mean, look, he's one of those guys that has to have a game plan. You have to have a game plan for. You have to have extra meetings for him. And I guess my answer, Jim, would be, well, just think how crappy the defense would have been without him. You know, I mean, he made a lot of plays. I mean, that San Francisco win probably doesn't even happen if he doesn't have that kind of a game.
Well, we'll certainly be talking about Jadeveon Clowney until there's some clarity on whether he ends up with the Seahawks or elsewhere, so that conversation's not going anywhere. Meanwhile, Jim took a closer look at what the Seahawks might be missing if Justin Britt is, in fact, a cap casualty. We'll talk about that next. It's Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up at the top of the hour, the Professor John Clayton will join us on the program, talk some football with him as we do every single day. You guys can text in throughout the show. 710-710 is the text line. I see Jim is updating people on his push-up routine here. Is that what's going on, Jim? 30 during the first break, 15 all other breaks?
That's right, Bob, and then 10 in the last break, and it equals 150.
Well, good. It's good to see where Jim's focus is today. This is great. This is great news. Jim, you did some work outside of your push-ups where you were looking at what might be missing if Justin Britt is, in fact, I feel like we've all just sort of resigned ourselves to the fact he's going to be gone because of, you know, they brought in three new faces on this offensive line, and it feels like they're setting up to say goodbye to Jermaine Ifedi and maybe to Justin Britt. And you took a deeper look at what that may look like without Justin Britt.
Well, yeah, if they were to release Justin Britt, you'd be looking at $8.75 million that you'd have that you could put toward Clowney or someone else. But then, you know, of course, you wouldn't have Justin Britt. You'd have Joey Hunt and perhaps Ethan Posick. And then there's also the possibility that Finney, the new guy you got, B.J. Finney from the Steelers in free agency, because he can play guard and center, although Ray Fittipaldo, the beat writer from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, when we talked to him earlier this week, said he feels like Finney is a better guard than he is a center. But still, you've got Jamarco Jones and you got Phil Haynes who could take over for Mike Iupati at left guard. So that, to me, makes Finney a candidate to take over at center, or at least get in the center competition. And I know a lot of people were, I mean, everybody loves Joey Hunt, but they feel like he's too small and maybe not good enough to be a long-term starter at center in the NFL. But he held up fairly well. I mean, there were some low-light plays that where he got run over a couple times on the pass rush. And that what I did basically, Bob, and it wasn't that tough. I mean, I just looked at the schedule. And we know that Justin Britt got hurt in the game at Atlanta. It was in the eighth game of the season, so it was pretty easy to figure out what the Seahawks were with their rushing totals, sacks allowed in the first eight games with Justin Britt versus the last eight games with Joey Hunt. And with Justin Britt, they only allowed 19 sacks when he was an offensive lineman starting there. And they also, I think, averaged like 125 rushing yards a game. With Joey Hunt, they allowed 29 sacks, so 10 more sacks when Hunt was in the game. But they rushed for more yards. They rushed for like 140 yards a game. And I guess my point when I went through that and looked at it, if you take the difference in the contracts between Britt and Joey Hunt and the difference in what you got playing-wise from Britt and Hunt, it didn't suggest to me that it was some huge dramatic drop-off when Joey Hunt was in there. They were 5-3 record-wise with Hunt, 6-2 with Britt. So I didn't see that as being that big of a difference. Then when you factor in that Finney is coming in here from Pittsburgh, then it opens up to a debate with, I mean, do you want to keep Justin Britt and continue to pay him that much money, or do you want to use his money elsewhere?
Dave, I would want to get your thought on those numbers, because without looking at it the way Jim did, I would wonder, all right, if Hunt was more of a liability, and I think he was, and that's not a knock on him. I just don't think he's as good as Britt is. I like him on the roster, but perhaps there was more of a pass rush. Perhaps Russell Wilson was scrambling for more yards, which gets tacked onto your rushing yardage in a game. So I don't know what Russell's numbers were in the game in terms of rushing yards in the games with Hunt versus Britt. But if, in fact, you know, there was a little bit more of a hole there and guys were getting to the quarterback quicker, maybe he was forced to rush more often. I'm not sure how you look at those numbers.
Well, I guess I haven't really thought about it in terms of, you know, Russ having to scramble. But, you know, with what Jim's saying, you know, the first eight games, because Britt got hurt in Atlanta, they played a really tough Baltimore defense against the run. But they ran really well against a bunch of highly rated defenses against the run in the second half of the season, Tampa Bay being one of them. And I remember going into that game because, you know, Joey Hunt played the remainder of the Atlanta game. I think it was like half. And then, you know, they had to come home and face Tampa Bay and Ndamukong Suh. And Ndamukong Suh didn't really do anything. And now I'll say this. They had a great game plan. So anybody that, you know, likes to criticize Schottenheimer, you know, they did not run the ball in the first half against Tampa Bay. They had like seven attempts, but then they ran it for over 100 in the second half. So they ran against a really good team. They were giving up like 67 yards. And Ndamukong Suh in there, I mean, I thought Joey Hunt handled him pretty well. And then they went against Philly twice, including the playoffs, and they were able to run the ball. Penny had 129 yards in that Philly game in week 12. And then Minnesota, who had a really good run defense, Carson ran for 102 in that game. Carolina the same. Carson ran for 133. So they did a pretty good job with him. I don't know, man. I think Joey Hunt, I saw him get run over twice. Once was Fletcher Cox, and the other was the guy from, I can't remember, Ronald or something like that. I don't know. He was a D lineman for San Francisco that just ran right over him. But other than that, I didn't see him getting abused or anything in there. So I don't know, man. I mean, I know Joey Hunt's a great backup and everything, but, you know, he gets discriminated against, I think, because of his size. But if you look at what he was able to do in that second half, I didn't see much of a drop-off offensively.
Yeah, but do you think he's a solution as your game-in, game-out starter, though?
Well, I mean, he was game-in, game-out for 10 games. You know, he's smart. I mean, can he stay healthy? I don't know. Maybe he can get a little bit bigger. I doubt it, but I don't know. I mean, he performed. He got results. So I don't think people are giving him a fair shake because of his size. You know, like Jim discriminates against people because of their age. You know, people are discriminating against Joey Hunt because of his size.
The other thing with Joey Hunt in there, they rushed for a season high in a game against Minnesota, 218 yards, and also the second highest total against Philadelphia, 174 yards. And then, Dave, when you talk about good run defenses around the league that they excelled against, the two games they played against San Francisco, Joey Hunt played in those, and they averaged 136 yards on the ground in those two games.
There you go.
And, Jim, you also talked about K.J. Wright in your story, feeling like I'm not sure where I'm at with him. I don't know what they're going to do. You note that, and you can find the story at 710sports.com, but talking about coming up on Sunday, he's due $1 million roster bonus versus they'd save $7.5 million against the cap if he's cut. If they've got goals in mind to really bolster that defensive line, whether it's Clowney and somebody else, it feels like, man, they really could be leaning that way in addition to Justin Britt.
Yeah, I just I look at it. I don't know if – I wouldn't say that KJ's on thin ice, but I wouldn't say he's on thick ice either. So we'll find out by Sunday when that $1 million roster bonus is due whether they're going to keep him or not. I would – you know, in Clayton terms, when he's using percentages, I would say it's probably 60 to 65%, maybe 70% they're going to keep him. And yet, I would think that Dave probably thinks it's closer to 90 or 95% based on how well he played last year.
Well, speaking of percentages, Jim, and speaking of John Clayton, he's going to join us next. We'll get his percentages and get his thoughts on what the Seahawks may do in addition to Clowney. All of that coming up when the professor joins us next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.